This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to This Day in History, a podcast dedicated to examining history from a standpoint of determining which event on any given day had the greatest impact on our lives. Now your host, Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian.
July 10th is here, folks. Welcome in This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm. Tony Hubert and Armand Kachigian bringing you the events, the births, the deaths, everything that's happened through the annals of time on the date of July 10th. We're brought to you by Amazon.com and by Audible.com. And when you go to our website, thisdayinhistorypodcast.com, don't forget you can subscribe to our little show here through iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, any major podcast outlet. And you can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/thisdayinhistorypodcast. All right, Armand.
Hey, I already see you've neglected a few things.
Yeah, today. I neglect things every day to see if you're paying attention. And most of the time you aren't.
Malfeasance.
Yeah. We'll see about that.
All right.
So I want to start in 48 BC. Where would you like to begin?
Well, I don't know. You know, I never heard of this one, but
I hadn't either. But it's a date that gets some notoriety because Julius Caesar barely avoids getting his ass whipped by Pompey in a catastrophic defeat in Macedonia.
Catastrophe.
We had a catastrophe.
Well. Yeah, I guess this is just a prelude to Pharsalus, which, you know, that was the end of Pompey.
That was the end of Pompey. So,
but I guess he won a kind of one round one here, but no knockout. That's bad.
So, how do you say this battle? Dyrrhachium?
I don't think it's Dyrrhachium.
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 Yeah.
Dyrrhachium.
Yeah.
Another Roman emperor, same date, quite a bit later, almost 200 years later. You know, that old Hadrian, he built that great wall. He dies of heart failure, and they entomb him next to his lovely wife, who had a great name, Vibia Sabina.
Yeah, one of the five good emperors. We were talking about this. Hadrian, Trajan, Pius Antoninus, Marcus Aurelius.
Yes.
Oh, don't tell me I'm going to forget the other
one. Isn't that five? Didn't you just rattle off
four?
Five?
That two.
Oh, that
Antoninus
one guy.
Pius is
one guy. Yeah, okay.
We had this problem the other day.
Yeah, right? we have these problems a lot. We're getting old.
That fifth one.
We're getting old, Armand. Can't remember crap.
Trajan, Hadrian. All right, keep going.
Anyway, you can still see Hadrian's wall if you want to go look for it.
And the Antonine wall, too, which is north of it, but not as well kept.
Yeah, you know.
It's a little beat up.
Now, that's when building a wall meant something.
We're going to build a wall, too.
No,
it's going to be there for thousands of years.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Solar-powered.
Sure. Why do you need a solar-powered wall? Doesn't the wall just stay in there?
You get power, too.
Oh, I see.
It generates power.
What about ad revenue?
I wouldn't have a problem with that either, really.
Kind of like you think a lot of people play baseball in front of it and try to hit one out of the country?
They can do anything they want. Just don't climb over it.
Well, climbing a solar cell would be pretty tough, wouldn't it?
Too. Fry a bunch of bats and,
going to have the
I guess you're opposed to the wall, or you just don't think he's going to build it.
Well, I just don't think it's going to get built, and I don't think it's going to work. It's not going to have the intended purpose.
Okay, what is the intended purpose? They dissuade people. Why are they building fences and walls all over Europe? And they're working.
Are they?
Yeah, they are. Hungary is. Slovakia is.
Okay.
Yeah, they're working too. They're keeping the Muslims out. It's never worked before, I guess. The Berlin Wall didn't work.
Well, they shot people. It's not the wall. It was the shooting.
Okay.
The wall didn't do anything. Just stood there.
Believe me, this wall.
It was the guards that shot people who tried to cross it. That's what prevented people from going.
Immigration's already down 70% just by having a guy that's enforcing the laws. Mm-hmm. You put a wall up there, it'll go down 90-something percent. Now, it's not 100%. We all know that. Is it the expense or you just don't want a wall?
It's just
the idea.
Are you gonna solve
terrible?
The big problem?
Yeah.
Sure. Oh, okay. Okay.
I told you, 90%.
And then everything will be fine in this country.
90%. It's worth it.
It's certainly not going to stop the drug trade.
Well, it may put a crimp in that, too.
Bullshit.
Okay, that's not the big problem. The big problem is these people coming over here. You don't live in California. You've been there. $138 billion at their budget. I just read it.
Yeah.
$50 million of it's going to giving lawyers for illegal immigrants. That's great. Good idea.
1553? Hey.
Build the wall.
Lady Green Jay. I don't think she... Lady Jane Grey. Sorry.
Spoonerism.
Yeah. Reverse that one. Lady Jane Grey. Yeah, she takes the throne of England. I don't think she built any walls, but yeah, she had a good name. She do anything notable past taking the throne?
Yeah, I got her head cut off.
Yeah, I know. A lot of people got their head cut off.
She deserved it. She's, she was Henry VIII's sister's granddaughter, I think, because Henry VII was her great-grandfather.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, she was Henry VIII's sister, Margaret. That was her granddaughter.
Man, that's her uncle?
Well, once removed, or whatever, great-uncle.
Great-uncle.
Not once removed, but great-uncle. You know. She kind of took her, and they didn't even, they put her in the tower or whatever, and they kind of were pretty nice to Mary Tudor. And then, after 9-day reign, something like that, a week, 9 days,
yeah.
It varies, she was doing all right until Wyatt's Rebellion came along. I think that was 1556, I think, because she was put away for a couple of years.
Right.
And then they said, well, you had something to do with this, cut her head off.
Couldn't resist, could they?
Yeah. What the hell?
1778. During our American Revolution, Louis XVI of France decides he's going to get on the act. So he declares war against the one and only. Well, who else would you declare war against?
Yeah, well,
Great Britain.
I don't know.
You got to thank the French, though, man.
I don't know if it was him.
Would we be here today without the French, Armand?
They did help us out. I got to give them that much. Yeah. But of course, they're fighting the war against the British anyway. So, they owe us. Just believe we paid them back.
Why not extend it? 1821. We, the U.S., that is, takes possession of Florida, newly purchased from Spain.
Yeah.
Good job.
Yeah. Okay.
I think they knew what they were getting.
I like this better than Alaska.
Future resort and vacation destination for
Hurricane
millions
Alley.
Of families.
Yeah, Orlando and Epcot Center.
Yes.
Was Epcot in the deal, or we had to pay extra for that?
I think we paid extra for Epcot.
Okay. Yep. We got the monorail and everything?
Oh, yeah. We got that.
Oh, Spanish or suckers.
That was included. Come
Idiots.
On.
God.
What did you do during a hurricane in Florida pre?
I loved it, man. I lived in Miami a couple of years. I loved it. We sat out on the
you never felt
patio.
You never felt the urge to evacuate?
No. Loved it. I watched like the palm trees.
Yeah, yeah.
It was cool. We were drunk.
Oh, well, that probably helped, I'm sure, but still.
Podiatry school, got out of a couple exams.
Uh-huh.
So
you weren't afraid for your life or anything?
Yeah, missed a couple lectures. I still don't know what the second toe does. I missed the lecture, damn it.
Well, it separates the big toe and the middle toe.
Oh, all right. That figures. All right. Mm-hmm.
Can you snap your toes?
No.
I can only snap my toes with one foot, my right foot.
Who are you, Barney Rubble?
Yeah, maybe. The guy over your,
oh, they
your
call
cousin
you Fred.
Calls
that's,
me Flintstone.
That's right. You're Fred.
I have size 13s. Like, that's some big deal.
It's not.
No.
No correlation.
No.
Anatomically.
No, not really. Actually, is it true the correlation anatomically is from the wrist to the seam of your elbow?
What? That's how long your...
No. That your foot is the same length as this.
I don't know about that. Maybe. Could be. No, that's possible.
I don't know, I don't know if there's any correlation between your Schwanstupper and...
Yeah, that's the thing. Your Pickelhaube.
Your Pickelhaube. You wear that on top of a helmet, you will really have a conversation.
Right.
Now, here's one you're going to love, Armand. This is right up your alley. This is one of the reasons this guy is one of your favorites. In 1832,
yeah,
our president, the seventh president, Andrew Jackson, he gets a bill put in front of him, and he goes,
F you.
I hated this the first time I heard about it. I'm going to veto it the second time you send me one. And the rechartering of the Second Bank of the United States gets the big old veto stamp from Andrew Jackson.
Attaboy, Andy. Yeah. The hell with that. I mean, this bank of – this was – we all know this is an inflationary bullshit thing to do just so that banks wouldn't have to pay out their money in gold and specie.
Right.
They could pay it out in paper. Good idea.
Right.
And this is directly – that had directly led to the panic of 1819, our first boom bust.
Well, not this. This did.
Right, the second bank. And they want to recharter the damn thing.
Right.
No, this is, what's his name? The bank was Monroe.
Yeah, that's the first bank.
Yeah, well, actually, it was Madison. And then Monroe, era of good feelings and all that stuff. It was basically a way to steal money and give it to the banks. The richest guys in the country made tons off this.
Oh, hell yeah.
So this was correct. Of course. I mean,
you're telling me we don't actually need money?
Not this. Yeah, we need money, not we need specie, not
what,
money.
That's what the rich guys were thinking.
They printed it up.
Oh, we can we can buy all sorts of stuff with this paper?
We don't need
this would be great.
Fiat money. That's what it's called. And we're still paying the price right now. So the hell
fiat money is what we all have.
Yeah.
It's what we all deal in.
That's why your dollar is worth like 3%, 3 cents of what it was worth in 1913.
In terms of purchasing power?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Thank you, Federal Reserve. Yeah, thank you. That's what they're supposed to do.
Well, they're neither federal nor a reserve, so there you have it. 1850, Millard Fillmore sworn in as the president one day after Zachary Taylor's death.
Yeah, he's ate too many. What did he eat? Strawberries and cream or something?
Something
and
like that.
Busted his gut.
Ugh, oh, God, oh, what a way to go.
Yeah.
Yuck. 1890, Wyoming.
Last Whig president, by the way, Millard Fillmore.
Oh, he's a Whig?
Yeah, last one.
Right. 1890, Wyoming gets in as the 44th state. Only five to go after that. Can you name them?
I think I got six.
Oh, no, it'd be six. Yeah, 45, 46, 47, 48,
Obama?
50.
That's 13.
So we'll work backwards.
57.
Hawaii, Alaska, Oklahoma, Arizona.
Right.
So I'm leaving two out there.
New Mexico's
New
in
Mexico.
There.
Okay.
Let's see. I think Arizona was 40. No. New Mexico might have been 40. No, Oklahoma's 45th, I think.
They were like till 1916, 1917?
No, I think it's like 1905.
1905, okay.
Arizona was Valentine's Day, like 1912, I think. But New Mexico was before Arizona.
Okay.
And then Hawaii.
All western states and the non-continentals.
Right.
So you're almost at the end of the rope here for states. They're getting down to it by 1890.
And by the way, that's what president besides Washington had the most states admitted during his term? That's a trivia question.
Arthur?
Oh, right here. Benjamin Harrison.
Harrison.
Yeah, and a bunch of them. Yeah.
And in 1913, another one right up your alley, the hottest day ever recorded on the face of the earth.
Now, you know what this, when I was a kid, they always said it was in El Aziza, Benghazi, or Benghazi, Libya, you know, El Aziza.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they said it was 136 degrees. Somehow, I guess they've, several years ago, they waived that
one. See, I've heard higher. I've heard like there's a spot in Iran that's hit 156.
156? What are you... That, on Venus?
Apparently, yeah. If you're, that's just what.
This, but now this is the champ.
This is substantiated. So it happens in Death Valley.
Yeah,
your lowest point in the continental United States, 134 degrees Fahrenheit. That's 57 Celsius. 1913.
Yeah, right.
You trust the measurements from 1913? No reason not to, right? I mean, mercury's mercury.
Well, it depends on who's doing them. If Professor Manning from Penn State's doing them, he just eliminates all the hot parts. And then he gives his little hockey stick. I hate that son of a bitch. God, I wish Jerry Sandusky would have felt him up, banged him. Prick. Well, they're at the same play. It could have happened, you know? They probably had showers together. Anyway,
it's a big campus. It's a big campus. I doubt they had showers together.
Yeah, this pussy didn't play football.
All right, one more before we do some birthdays.
You know, this is 1913, by the way. Now, if there was global warming, wouldn't you think... 1913 was a very hot year, by the way, and the hottest year, no matter what anybody tells you, of all time, was 1936 by a great margin.
Well, you got
that's NASA talking.
You got the Dust Bowl,
yeah,
right?
It was horrible, yeah. More 100 degree days in the United States, like every day was 100 degrees during summer everywhere.
Just fried the Central Plains,
yeah. Play baked everything, man. I'm telling you.
You know, like nothing can grow in, or very few things can grow in soil when the ambient temperature of the soil is above 95 degrees.
I believe
grass can't grow.
Yeah.
Grass will start actually eating itself.
Well, there's no moisture, right? I mean, it desiccates, I guess.
Even if you flooded the field, okay? But the temperature is just going to rise back above 95, burn off all the...
It all sublimates, I guess.
Exactly.
There you go, yeah.
You talk to any grounds crew guy who's in charge of having one of these pristine grass fields, and once that ambient temperature gets above 95, you know, just for the soil, you're done for. You might as well just spray paint it.
Oh, Nerva, fifth good emperor.
Wow. Jeez. That just came out of nowhere.
Damn right, yeah.
All
came
right.
out of the ground.
Yeah, one more before we do our birthdays. We got a lot of good birthdays today. But on this date,
well
down in Dayton, Tennessee,
Yeah.
The old monkey trial begins of John T. Scopes. Now, Scopes, he's that young high school teacher,
right,
and he's accused of teaching evolution in violation of
the Butler Act.
The Butler Act. You know it. You love it. It's the Butler Act. And you can't teach evolution. You can't teach evolution in Tennessee, that's for sure. And the Scopes trial begins. One of the more famous trials in American history, July 10th, 1925, gets underway.
Well, consult Inherit the Wind.
Inherit the Wind.
You know, that's a great that's a great portrayal. Pretty accurate, actually. And Gene Kelly plays what's his name?
Was there a dance number in this?
No, he didn't dance. It was a dramatic role. He was really good. He played that H.L. Mencken character.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Hornbeck.
Hornbeck.
Yeah, that was the name in the the names were all changed. I don't know why.
Why? Just it's history. Really, with it. It's a matter of public record. What's the problem?
I don't know. But here again, I do have a problem with not teaching, to have a law that you can't teach evolution's bullshit.
Absolutely.
But I don't have a problem with teachers, if you're a biology teacher or whatever, and saying, listen, or even a science or physics teacher saying, listen, the Big Bang is all conjectural.
It's a theory. That's why it's called the theory.
Right. Yeah, but you can't say that God created, that you can't say. That's church and state, which is bullshit, because that's not what the First Amendment says. But anyway, a teacher can't say. Now, there's an alternative theory that there is some sort of
intelligent
design. Exactly. Which could or may not be God.
Well, we're going to come around to that later.
You have a problem with that? I don't have a problem with that. You say that's a theory too. To say that the Big Bang is established science, I'm not going to bring in global warming.
Right.
But the consensus or whatever, that's, you should say that too. You qualify it. A lot of physicists don't believe in that.
I think it's qualified in the name.
Well, it's kind of a joke.
It's not the Big Bang event. It's the Big Bang Theory.
Well, that's the TV show.
No, it's always.
It's not the Big Bang Theory. It's the Big Bang. That's what Fred Hoyle called. Okay. Although the irony of that is Fred Hoyle didn't believe in it. He was a steady state universe guy, that the universe has always been. There was no Big Bang, no beginning, and no end. Mm-hmm. And a lot of physicists think that too, which implies there's a God, right? Because that's God. There's no beginning and no end to God. Correct.
I like that metaphysical whatever connection you just made. Let me ask you a question. Right. You can ask this question in school. In the timeline of all history, where are we at in the timeline?
Well, that depends. If you believe in the Big Bang, we're 13.7 billion years into it. Mm-hmm. Well, the Earth is only
4.562. I said everything.
Well, then you don't know, because a lot of people think there is no Big Bang and there's no beginning, end.
Let's go back to your thing. So if we are.
We're very early, because if you believe in the Big Bang, you don't believe in it. Oh, no, we're not. The Big Crunch is like trillions of years away.
Yeah, okay, that's fine.
That's the end. But that's the heat death of the universe.
But then something else starts.
How do you know?
I don't.
You don't know. Well, you don't.
History of everything. If it's like you.
If you believe in that bubble universe stuff.
If it's like you say. It always was, or you're saying
there's the Big Rip, the Big Crunch. There's all these things, theoretical endings to the universe.
Armand, in the history of all time,
well,
we can only be in the middle. We're always in the middle.
No, we're not.
Yes, we are.
No, we're not.
If there was no beginning and there was no end, therefore we are always in the middle.
That. By another theory, we're 13.7 billion years into something that's going to take about 100 trillion years to actually play out.
All right.
So we're not in the middle. Now we're virtually in the middle. This is interesting. We're virtually in the middle of the life of the sun, because the sun's going to it's been around for about 5 billion years. It's going to be around for another about 5 billion years.
So who said
it blows up and the Earth is
universe had no beginning and has no end? Who said that?
A lot of physicists say that. Okay. So Hoyle for one.
So if I ask Hoyle where we are on the timeline of all.
That's a ridiculous question.
No, because the answer is we're in the middle and we're always in the middle.
Well, that's how you define middle. I mean, how about we can always be at the end, too?
No, because...
Well, why not?
Everything that happened before you, there was no beginning to. Everything that is coming, there's no end. You're stationary.
What's the middle of it?
You're in the middle.
On a number line, what's the middle of infinity?
Infinity?
Yeah. I already gave you that one. That one, I told you.
To the negative 12 or something?
Negative 1/12.
Negative 1/12. Yeah. Where am I? Oh, birthdays. Yeah, June 10th. Who was born today? 1830, artist that I like, a Danish-French impressionist, Camille Pissarro. You familiar with his work?
I looked at some of his stuff.
That's good.
Yeah, I don't know. Apparently this guy was even better than being a painter, was like the father of the Impressionists. You know, he taught like or instructed or was mentoring Gauguin, mm-hmm. all these guys.
How to paint quickly, how to capture the light.
Whatever. So, yeah, the guy.
Whatever.
Okay, come we'll on. Give him that much.
Huge movement.
But I don't like his paintings.
Man. I do. They're good.
Just stupid French countrysides. Who cares?
Whoa. What countryside would you prefer?
Huh?
What countryside would you prefer?
Las Vegas.
Yeah, but there was nothing there.
Well, that's back then.
Although it'd be great if you took like Claude Monet out of 1860s, yeah. 1870s, and dropped him into Las Vegas today. Right. And go, rather, here, Claude, paint this.
Yeah,
I'd rather. That'd be a hell of a painting.
Casinos and haystacks.
All right. 1839, Adolphus Busch, co-founder of Anheuser-Busch. He'd die in 1913. Now, the better known Busch is his son, Adolphus Busch Jr., okay. Gussie Busch.
All right.
1856, a giant.
But a real boob businessman.
Unfortunately, yes.
Yeah, the guy dies broke.
I mean, and he died in the New Yorker Hotel, which still stands today. Right there on 34th and Avenue of the Americas.
If you believe what this guy, you know, supposedly has, you know, there was infinite energy free and time travel and all kinds.
It was all there. And his name was Nikola Tesla. Nikola Tesla.
Got to give it to him. He was one of the most brilliant men ever lived.
Now, here's a guy you can debate on next, whether he is brilliant or just a big loser.
He's a lazy bastard.
Marcel Proust.
Yeah, getting this Proust.
You ever see Little Miss Sunshine, the movie?
Yeah.
Where Steve Carell's character is the preeminent Proust scholar.
That's right. I used to say, yeah. This guy never got out of bed. He just wrote and wrote and wrote. Like 3,200 pages this son of a bitch wrote. I think he was the one also. Remembrance of Things Past? I think he had to eat a Madeline to get himself going.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So I didn't hang around.
Then I got some names of the day here, some of which are actually kind of big.
This is stupid.
1882, I'm a Hog. That's a name.
Oh, bull.
American society leader, philanthropist, patron, and collector of the arts. I'm a Hog.
Change your name.
1897. Now, this is right up your alley.
Jack Diamond, yeah.
Legs Diamond.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Legs.
Do you remember what they called him? The Clay Pigeon. Nobody could kill this son of a bitch. In fact, I think that Dutch Schultz said that. Can't somebody keep this guy out, knock him out or something?
So you could do is break him up a little. Don't bounce back.
Yeah, this guy, I mean, they shot him, I don't know how many times. He kept surviving.
What a name, man. Yeah. Legs Diamond. Yeah. Oh, that's so good.
I think that's
What's his real name? Jack, you said?
Jack Diamond. Oh,
yeah. Jack Diamond.
But apparently he decided to run out. I think either call him Legs because he was a good dancer, which he was like a real ladies man and dancer, or because nobody could get him because he was always on the run getting shot. But eventually tried to move into Albany, I guess, and the big shot out there said, no, you're not walking, you're not coming in here.
And who was that big shot? Do you remember?
Fitzpatrick or Fitz something, you know, some Irish dude that didn't like the mayor.
Old school.
Yeah, boss.
Sort of like Tammany Hall type boss.
Political boss. Yeah. And then they suspect Dutch. He was – and he went up there because his mistress, he spent a few nights with his mistress.
Yeah.
Dutch put three bullets in his head. This time they got him.
No.
Yeah, he didn't get out.
Legs don't fail me now.
Yeah, well,
1907.
Take it.
Happy birthday, Blind Boy Fuller, singer, guitarist.
Yeah, okay.
1911. Happy birthday, Cootie Williams.
Enough with the names.
Trumpeter and band leader.
All right.
1920. David Brinkley, American journalist.
Good night, David. Good night.
Do you like Brinkley?
No, no, I have a little before my time. I guess I remember those guys.
I don't really remember Brinkley as
David Brinkley and is it John Huntley? Because I said good night, Dave. Good night, John.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I think Huntley's right. 1921. Here's one we can all get behind. Great guy. Great movie. Boy, he's still alive too. He's coming up on 100.
Who's this?
1921. Happy birthday, Jake LaMotta. Raging Bull.
Oh yeah. Oh, there's another guy actually that is on our death list that had to do with him.
With Legs Diamond or
no,
David Brinkley? Or
Chet Huntley, of course.
Chet Huntley.
Chet Huntley.
There you go.
Good night, Chet.
Yeah, good night, Chet.
Damn, that was about dumb. Yeah. LaMotta, only man to knock him down?
Yep, Sugar Ray, that is.
No, he did not knock him down. Never knock me down, Ray. Remember that the movie? Never knock me down. Only one man knocked Danny Nardico.
But didn't he knock Sugar Ray down?
No, he didn't go down.
Damn.
They stopped the fight. Yeah, he just beat the crap out of him.
They fought five times, right?
Six. Yeah, that was a sixth one. The Valentine's Day Massacre, 1951. Round 13, the hard luck round.
Mm-mm-mm.
He beat the holy shit out. He wouldn't go down.
Was Sugar Ray that tough?
Well, no, but Jake was.
Yeah,
Jake was
true.
Tough enough to take it.
Yeah, he could take a pound.
I think he was the first one to knock down Sugar Ray.
That's what I was asking you, and you kept saying
LaMotta.
No. I know.
LaMotta's only guy to knock him down is Danny Nardico.
Yeah, to knock down LaMotta.
Yeah.
LaMotta's the only guy to knock down Sugar Ray.
Oh, I don't know about that. I don't think so.
Oh, okay.
Well, I don't
okay.
think so.
Good, good. No, that's what I wanted to know.
No. Anyway, sure. He was...
Where do you rank Raging Bull?
The movie?
Yeah.
At the top. Of that, Body and Soul.
Is it the best boxing film?
Yeah, I think so. That and Body and Soul, second, I guess. And okay. The Harder They Fall is up there,
Harder
too.
They Fall.
Yeah, that's pretty good, too. But, yeah, this is... Yeah, Jake LaMotta... What else do I want to talk about him? Of course, portrayed by
De Niro.
De Niro won
with
the Academy Award.
With the, you know, svelte body and then put on all the weight.
Yeah.
And did that as a young guy, too.
I think he did that first, too. He went over to Paris.
Did he did the...
Pigged out and got all the... Yeah, did fat first.
So they filmed all the elder sequences first.
Yeah, then he got in shape.
Then he got in shape, huh?
Yeah. And then Kathy Moriarty.
And boy, did he get in shape.
Yeah. Yeah, LaMotta trained him, apparently.
Kathy Moriarty looked good.
And then, the real Vicky was in Playboy, like 51 years old. She looked good.
Yeah,
I saw that
did.
Spread.
She did.
Anyway, LaMotta was, he beat Marcel Cerdan. We've talked about him. That was Edith Piaf's lover, and he was going to visit her.
So you're saying Cerdan, he did have some regrets, that fight.
Is that a joke?
Yeah, that's her song. Non de la regret. That's Pilaf's famous song. I have no regrets.
Oh,
it's kind of her. It's got like a. It's kind
I
of.
I thought it was La Vie en Rose.
Well, that's another big one, but okay. The one you hear a lot today is.
Well, he's going to visit her in Africa or something because she's entertaining the troops or something. His plane crashed and he killed
Damn.
Him. So that was the end of Marcel Cerdan, who was the French. Apparently, in that fight, Cerdan threw his shoulder out in the first round or second round, so he's fighting with one arm. And you don't do that against Jake.
No.
So he beat the hell out of him.
All right. 1921, same day as Jake LaMotta, Eunice Kennedy Shriver. Happy birthday, Eunice.
Okay.
Died in 2009. She was the co-founder of Special Olympics.
Right.
Her great legacy. She married Sarge Shriver. That's
Sergeant
really.
Sergeant Shriver.
Really, other than being a Kennedy, that's her big, big legacy. 1924, Bobo Brazil.
Oh, the Cocoa Bud.
Yeah.
I remember him. Yeah.
Happy birthday there. And 1926, boy, listen, I love this dude.
Yeah, he's all right. I liked him as a judge in My Cousin Vinny.
Yeah. But everyone knows him as Herman Munster.
Car 54, where are you?
You.
Yeah.
Fred Gwynn.
He was also good in his first role was in On the Waterfront.
Really?
Yeah, he's one of Rod Steiger's Plug Uglies.
Oh, yeah, that's a good. He passed away right after My Cousin Vinny,
Lee J. Cobb. Lee J. Cobb.
Well, he was good on the bench in that one, though.
Which one?
Fred Gwynn, My Cousin Vinny. But he passed away in 1993.
Yeah,
that's right after it came out.
Mm-hmm.
1943, happy birthday, Arthur Ashe.
Yeah.
Of course, won at Wimbledon.
Tainted blood and blood transfusion.
Yeah, and really the first notable person to die of AIDS from a tainted blood transfusion. 1947, the folk singer, he's also an actor, producer, songwriter, Arlo Guthrie. 1972, let's all take a moment and
who's this?
Think about Sofia Vergara, Modern Family. You don't know who Sofia Vergara is?
No.
You don't have a pulse then.
Right.
1976, Adrian Grenier. You ever see Entourage?
Yeah.
Vinnie Chase?
Oh, okay.
That's the man right there.
I get it.
1980, the grandson of the king, Richard Petty, Adam Petty, was
what
born.
To him?
He
accident?
Died on a
20 years old. Man.
Yeah, he died at the New Hampshire International Raceway in a practice session. His car came off turn four and just kept going straight.
Ooh. Okay.
But his death and the death of Kenny Irwin, also at New Hampshire, not the same weekend, but a different race. Basically, that coupled with the death of Dale Earnhardt got NASCAR to use what's called the Hans device to restrict your head
restraint?
And neck from – because what happens is you're in the harness in the car and you're in a very good harness in a very customized seat. But the car stops. Your head keeps going.
Right. All that kinetic energy continues. Yes, I know exactly. I can tell you the physics of it.
And if you've ever seen a picture, there is a picture of Drew Brees, the Saints quarterback, getting sort of tackled right across the chest as he's going forward. And the picture, his neck extends about a foot. Well, they say – at those speeds, Armand, your neck can extend 8-10 inches.
Wow. Well, that's not good for the old discs.
The extension is okay. It's the recoil.
Yeah, right. Well, of course.
And it recoils, and it snaps the vertebrae, and it snaps the spinal cord.
Snaps everything.
And you're dead.
Yep. If you're lucky.
Right. Because the alternative is you're paralyzed from the neck down for life.
Right.
But this is how Earnhardt, Kenny Irwin, and Adam Petty were killed, and it instituted a new era in safety in NASCAR. 1980, happy birthday, Jessica Simpson.
She instituted a new era in horrible acting.
Horrible.
She's good looking.
Yeah, well, that's fine. Be good looking. Lots of ladies are good looking. She has no talent whatsoever.
She's the last of a long line. Not the last, or we're in the middle of a long line. Now that's a question.
Oh.
When does bad acting end? Never.
Never.
So we're in the middle of it. But is she any worse than Jane Mansfield or Mamie Van Doren or any of these rotten and good looking actresses? No, they're just as bad as she is.
No, but Mamie Van Doren or Jane Mansfield, TV been around in 1950, 1960, they would have been on it.
Torpedo bras.
Yeah. She did look good in Dukes of Hazzard.
Damn right.
Remake. So did Linda Carter playing the...
I like her better.
You got Wonder Woman, man. Come on, Wonder Woman.
Daisy Duke.
All right. Let's go back to the events.
Yeah.
1938, Howard Hughes, 91-hour airplane flight around the world, setting a new record. Hey, did you see the Amelia Earhart special?
Yeah, I haven't seen it. I saw the picture.
You ought to take a watch to
like
this special.
Sounds like you're convinced.
Huh? I think they got her.
All right.
I think they got her. I think it's pretty conclusive that it is conclusive she survived because there's radio signals that are documented 2 days later. But Hughes, one year after Earhart is doing the Around the World, he does his 91 hours too. Holy smoke. That's not even 4 days. That's getting after it. The clincher for me is there's a radio log. A lady in Kentucky picked her up on a shortwave radio after she was down.
Okay.
And even the naval... they sent out the search 281 miles north of Holland Island, okay? Howland Island. But the island that she's it's fairly well established that she did come down on is 281 degrees north-northwest of Holland Island.
Yes, that's a different story.
So... I think they made a compelling case that she died on the island of Saipan during the Second World War.
Okay,
you ought to check this out, Armand. It was very well done.
You got to do it. Surreal Talk.
Well, yeah,
talk to Everett about it. Yeah. We had a great show set.
Yeah, you were a guest on Surreal Talk doing Hollywood deaths, Hollywood mysteries.
Of course, anybody that's listened to this show doesn't have to listen to that one because we were talking about the usuals,
mm-hmm.
Ted Healy and
all the good ones.
All
the greatest hits.
Pat DiCiccio.
Now, here's a good one for World War II. It is hugely important.
Oh, yeah, I've read about this.
Hugely important.
I don't know. I've some people say it's like bigger than the Battle of Midway, and other people say it wasn't that big of a deal.
I think it's important. It's always important your hands on the enemy's weapons. And on this date, July the 10th in 1942, an American pilot will spot a Mitsubishi A6M. That's better known as a Zero. And he'll spot a down zero on
the Akatan Zero.
Akatan Island, which becomes known
as the Aleutians.
The Akatan Zero. Yep, up there in the Aleutians. And that gives the U.S. Navy some intelligence and a chance to learn all of that aircraft's flight characteristics.
Now, this wasn't supposed to happen ever because, the Japanese had instructions that if anybody goes down and the plane's
self-destruct.
The other guys strafe the shit out of it.
Yeah.
Don't let the Americans get it.
Right.
Well, I guess. These other guys, or the guy that was with him, his wingman, thought that he might still be alive, which I think he was.
Mm.
And I don't think he made it. Anyway, he didn't do it. He said, well, maybe the guy survived, which, for the Japanese, I don't think the emperor would have liked that.
No, uh-uh. That's dishonor.
You should have run it in yourself. You smash into it with yours,
right.
Before you let the Americans get it. But anyway, that's why it was very difficult to get an intact A6M.
I love the stories about getting a foreign airplane, whether it's a MiG or
the guy that you offer $100,000 and you'll get one. But this reminds me, remember the Flying Tigers?
Yes.
And remember, I said, and look out for the guy who hits the silk, machine gun you on the way down. The Nips will machine gun you on the way down. That's what happened to Blackie.
Yeah,
they got Blackie.
God, can you imagine getting hit by a Oh, was it 50 caliber round coming out of those?
You won't feel a thing.
That's true. It'll be over before
you and a half.
1962, the first telecommunications satellite ever.
Yeah, it's still out
Telstar
there too. Not working, but it's
launched
still there.
Into orbit. Yeah, still up there circling around. Doesn't do us anything, but
yeah, first intercontinental broadcasts and stuff. Yeah,
and then we skip ahead to the 90s, 1991. First elected president of Russia, Boris Yeltsin. He takes office on this date. Yeah. Congratulations, Boris. He must have celebrated with a couple.
Drunk. He was drunk. Yeah.
1992.
He was like Dmitry Kissoff.
Yes, Dmitry.
Turn the music down, Boris.
Oh, no, I'd call to say hello, Dmitry.
Yeah, I'm fine and you're fine.
We're all fine.
I agree with you. It's great to be fine.
I did watch, by the way, Dr. Strangelove in its entirety about a week ago.
Yeah.
It never fails.
Merck and Muffly.
Never fails to impress.
Pretty funny stuff, man. I wish we had one of them doomsday machines.
1992, your former Panamanian head honcho, the Big Cheese.
He just kicked off.
Pineapple Face, Manuel Noriega. He gets sentenced to 40 years in prison for drug racketeering and other violations. Did some time in Marion, Illinois.
Oh, yeah.
Like to go from Panama to Marion, Illinois?
Give me the rock song they played again. What was it?
Def Leppard.
Yeah, okay.
Pour Some Sugar on Me or
Oh, Just Kill Me, Man.
Yeah, I mean.
Oh, God.
They just played it on an endless loop.
That's nasty.
Yeah. But, I wonder when he was at Marion, I'm sure he was in solitary. But they had some big guys there at the time. They had John Gotti there.
Oh, wow, yeah. I'll bet he had a better time of it than this guy.
Well, John Gotti was – I know when Marion Gotti was still able to get his fingernails polished and everything.
Yeah, dental visits. And I think he got some visits, conjugal visits, too.
He probably did.
Yeah.
1997. Now, here's the big one, I think, for the day. Scientist – report the findings of their DNA analysis of a skeleton, a Neanderthal skeleton that's found, supporting the out-of-Africa theory on human evolution. And this places what comes to be known as African Eve between 100,000 to 200,000 years ago as
That's been disproven, by
disproven?
The way.
Disproven?
Yeah. Now, they say it's much, much later.
Later?
Much earlier, actually. Humans appear.
Right.
And they're mingling with Neanderthals.
They don't disprove African Eve, though, right?
I don't think that's the question, but it's like how long ago? Like 400,000 or 500,000 years ago.
So twice to three times as far back.
I was just reading an article on that. Yeah, so there's supposedly
humans. This means you and I are long-lost cousins.
Okay. Don't insult me.
Do you know
you get nasty?
You ever seen this thing where you, as you work back in genealogy, you get to a point
where you're related to Kevin Bacon?
No. Well, yes, that's true too. Maybe it's more than 6 degrees, but like basically everyone alive is really kind of no worse than 15th cousins.
That sucks. A lot of people I don't want to be related.
I don't know if that's true.
Yeah, God, I hope it's not.
But you get to a point where as you work back, you're like, okay, if for us to be completely non-related, we cannot have any set of grandparents in common. Well, as you work back, the grandparents required outnumbers the actual population of the earth.
Yeah, well, that figures.
So we are all related, folks. You can't get around it. As much as Armand wants to.
Yeah, are trying to depress me today?
I'm going to guess that you and I are if we could track it, we're somewhere in the 10th cousin category. Maybe less.
We're way farther apart than that. Politically,
that doesn't matter.
That
has no bearing on it. None.
Wow.
We both come out of the Fertile Crescent one way or another.
Just goes to show you, nature versus nurture. I don't know who nurtured you, but they were communist.
No, not at all. 2002. The Massacre of the Innocents.
Yeah, I like that painting. Oof. I pay 49 million pounds for it.
49.5 million pounds. 76.2 million bucks sold at Sotheby's, the Peter Paul Rubens painting. Dang.
Wow. They sold it to J.J. Thompson, the man who discovered the neutron.
And in 2007, Erdan Uruk begins the first solo human-powered circumnavigation of the world.
Well, good for him.
Pedal.
And by the way, we were talking about Joshua Slocum. Remember?
We were?
Yeah, the guy on the yacht, the guy who sailed by himself around.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he didn't go through any canals or anything. 40,000 miles.
Oh, that counts then.
Yeah.
Totally counts.
Yeah, you were.
Anything above.
You were derogating.
20, every, anything above 25,000 miles.
40,000 miles that guy went.
But you can't tell me you circumnavigated the globe and found a 9,000 mile route around the.
He didn't take the Northwest Passage or anything.
Yeah. You know, did it. You just can't float around Antarctica and say, oh, hey, I did it. Doesn't count. All does right. not count.
Oh, so listen, by the way, you missed since we're before we do deaths.
Yes.
I got a birth. Lily DeMita? Yeah, 1904. Remember she was married to Errol Flynn, his first wife?
Oh, okay.
What a crazy broad.
Was she a member of the FFF?
No. Oh, hell no.
Was she a contributor to the FFF?
No, not at all. She didn't put up with that stuff.
Okay.
But she was also married to Michael Curtiz, who was
Casablanca.
Another
director.
Reason that Errol and he didn't get along real well. But, the main thing we were talking about, she spent all the money she had looking for her son. Because I told you, Sean went to Cambodia, photojournalist, never came back. And she just never would accept
that. Well,
that's
the guy I asked you if John Malkovich's character in The Killing Fields was based off of.
I don't think so.
You ever see The Killing Fields?
No.
Oh, I definitely.
There's no resemblance. Sean Flynn was a good-looking guy.
Should watch
that. He actually made a couple movies. Son of Captain Blood.
Oh, Son of Blood, Okay.
Now, you talk about a bad actor, but.
Well,
he looked like Errol.
All right. So who died on July 10th as we wrap things up? Well, the man responsible for the
Wait a minute. I got another one.
You got another one?
Yeah, this guy, another Nick Adams.
What, the Nick Adams stories?
Well, no, not Hemingway, Nick. Nick Adams, the actor.
Yeah. I got nothing for
Renegade,
you.
He was on. Then he went to Japan. And
to
they
do
called
what?
Him, well, to be like to fight Godzilla and stuff.
Oh, wow.
And they call him Niku Adamusu.
Well, he's going to fight Godzilla.
Yeah, he fought all those guys. Yeah, he's making cheap monster movies. And then he came back and killed himself.
Oh.
Which anybody who's gone to Japan to make those movies would.
What?
But
fight a guy in a rubber Godzilla suit? That sounds like a good time.
He was real good friends with James Dean. He was part of that curse of Rebel Without a Cause. He had a minor part in that.
And
so Natalie Wood, Sal Mineo, Nick Adams, and James Dean all met, untimely ends.
Did I tell you I went through the intersection?
In fact, I think Nick and Jimmy were real good friends.
Yeah.
Oh. Real good friends.
Yeah.
Better friends than we are. A lot closer than we are. You know what I mean? And we're pretty close.
I think I get your drift. Yeah. I think the whole audience gets your drift. Yeah.
Good. I'm trying to
be subtle
about
it. Did I tell you I went through the intersection that Dean was killed at?
And you survived?
Well.
Where was Mr.
I'm kind of fuzzy as to what actually happened because it's not unless something really like topographical had changed, how did he not see what's coming from the other direction?
Who knows what he was up to? Who's the guy that he bit? Crabapple or something? What was that guy's name?
I don't know.
You don't remember the guy's name?
No,
he had this weird name.
Now, I know he had I've heard he had a weird. But I don't. Yeah.
Oh man, how could I?
And the other thing
driving
I remember.
A 550 Spider.
Yeah, he's driving a
Porsche.
550 Spider, and he tries to accelerate through it to beat it.
Beat what?
The car.
Oh.
You know.
What was that guy's name? Pickapple or is it Pickle Hobba? God.
And he did it in a pretty remote place, especially for the time. You know, 1958?
No.
57?
55, I think.
Oh, man. And
or
Giant?
54. Maybe 54. It was before Giant came out.
Giant comes out when?
That was posthumous. Yeah, 55.
Man. Yeah, East of Eden's already out, right? Rebel Without a Cause is already out.
Yeah, posthumous. Yeah, posthumous.
And he's in Giant with Liz Taylor and
Rock Hudson. What the hell's that guy's name?
Well, why don't you look
it up? I know, but I hate to look it up.
If there's only a machine that could tell you things, Armand.
That's cheating.
All right. Let me get some deaths in here. Dirigitype? Well, Louis Daguerre.
Louis Daguerre.
French photographer, physicist, invented the dirigitype.
Daguerreotype.
Daguerreotype, dirigitype.
Donald Turnipseed. Jesus Christ, of course.
Donald Turnipseed. I knew that. You know why?
Me
because
too.
I grew up playing ball with a kid named Chris Turnipseed.
Turnipseed.
Yep.
That's a great name. Now, there's a name for you.
Oh, yeah. Remember the first time dad heard that name, he laughed out loud, and then the guy said, no, I'm not joking. That's my name.
All right. First of all, you missed 1099 El Cid.
El Cid.
Yeah. Otherwise, well.
What a big movie that was.
Rodrigo Diaz de Bivar.
Yeah.
You ever seen the movie?
Oh, it's spectacular.
That sucks.
It doesn't
boring
matter.
As hell.
The huge.
Charlton Heston and Sophia Loren hated each other.
The big. Oh.
But anyway, it had a nice score.
It looked beautiful.
Miklos Rozsa, nice score. And they spent a lot of money on it, but it sucked.
Yeah, it's
very
no story.
Very long, very boring. Yeah. But yeah,
needed to cut that down by 40 minutes.
That actually happened. He was dead. And they wanted him to go to the head of, you know, they wanted to inspire the troops to kick the Muslims out of Granada, which only lasts a couple of years anyway. But so they strapped him to his horse.
Uh-huh.
And the horse's name was.
Well, there's a famous horse.
Yeah. Bierka or something like that. Bierka, I think, is. Well,
there's only a machine that you could find these things out on.
That's cheating, though.
Not really.
You know, if he wants to be on Millionaire, does not allow this.
No, well, you call it, you phone a friend.
Yeah, Bivieka, good. I think. Bivieka, I think it was the horse's name. El Cid's horse. Anyway, you know, he did.
Again, what was Washington's
horse?
Yeah. Nelson?
Bobieka.
Bobieka. Okay, very good. I'm going to give you full credit for that because you were right on it.
Bobieka.
And what was Lee's horse?
I don't know. What was Washington's horse?
Nelson.
Oh, Nelson. Lee's horse was Traveler.
Traveler.
Babieca. How about Sancho Panza's jackass?
Flapjacks or Mr. Pickles?
I forgot it. I got to think that one. I got to think about it.
Anyway, also died July 10th.
1099.
El Cid.
Yeah.
El gone.
Spanish hero.
1941, Jelly Roll Morton. You don't like any of these. These are classic American musicians, and you just have nothing. All right, let's try this out. 1989, Mel Blanc.
We talked about him.
Yeah, we talked about him on his birthday. Yeah. This is the day that the Speechless,
the great
poster of all the Warner Brothers characters with their heads bowed and the microphone there in the spotlight, empty.
Still good on Jack Benny. Psy, C, Sue.
And I got one more for you.
Played the Maxwell, too.
2015, the Egyptian actor Omar Sharif.
And expert bridge player.
Whoa. You know,
he had that column in the paper.
Every day, in almost every paper around, probably around the world. Yeah. Omar Sharif's, what did they call it, bridge tips? Or
something like that. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. That makes sense.
About how to play this.
Yeah, he's an expert. He was Egyptian.
Yeah.
He was good in Genghis Khan, if you can ever see that.
Did you like him in which is your favorite Sharif movie?
Probably Genghis Khan.
Not Zhivago.
No, I'm not a big – I thought that was overrated. I never liked that. But, I mean, that and Lawrence of Arabia.
Well,
but
that's
Sharif starred in
– when he starred, the movie was big.
He was in Genghis Khan. He fought Stephen Boyd, mm-hmm. had that yoke around his neck. I got a couple. Laurent Dantuit.
Dantuit,
yeah. Died in 71. He's the guy that he had beaten Jake LaMotta.
Oh.
And then he's a Frenchman, too, so we hate him. But
you keep mentioning Frenchmen. I think you really like us at the end of the day.
Well, yeah. Marcel Cerdan, after he got killed in the plane crash, right. You know, this guy swore he'd get the – it was in the movie. Mm-hmm. He swore he'd get the title back for France.
Yeah.
And he's winning. He's kicking the shit out of Jake. And there's like 13 seconds left in the fight, and Jake knocked him out. He was way behind on every card. It's in the movie. It's accurately portrayed. So that was.
Did you like Joe Pesci in that movie?
Yeah, of course. Why don't you hit me in the face? Wrap it around your hand. How many times I got to tell you? Not too many more.
For as much as people imitate Joe Pesci, I hardly ever hear anybody bring up a Raging Bull imitating.
Yeah.
You might be the only guy I know who does Pesci from Raging Bull. Otherwise, it's Goodfellas, it's Casino, it's Lethal Weapon, Home Alone.
Which you should beat him. Right. So stop eating, you fat bastard. If you win, you win. You lose, you still win. You can't lose. Just stop eating, you fat bastard.
Is there better screen chemistry than...
I tell you, he wasn't going to... I don't know how...
De Niro and Pesci?
I don't know who recommended because he was driving a truck or something back in New York.
Nobody.
He was out of the business at the time. Yeah, I don't know who the hell picked him, but it might have been De Niro.
But I mean, God,
really?
Pretty good. Is there better screen chemistry?
Yeah, look at them. Look like two fags up there.
I mean, you got to think about their scenes in Goodfellas, their scenes in Casino, especially the desert scene.
You know,
he is
a gangster. Did I ever tell you a story about
Pesci?
Him? A buddy of mine told me
he's
story.
A real gangster.
Well, they apparently my friend knew this guy. My friend worked at House of Blues on Sunset.
Oh yeah,
in LA.
Yeah, okay.
Buddy of mine went my acting class. So anyway, he works a bartender.
See, we are connected because I used to work
I'm not connected. I wish I was.
I used to work for the booking agent at House of Blues.
You're a booker, huh? The bookie.
No. The booking agent.
All right, don't interrupt. You always get to tell your dumb stories.
No, they're not dumb.
They had this guy there, a big dude at the doorman. Okay. So it's some special night, you know, some special party. You know, sure. They had those and, you know, the public course. This is L.A. The public can't get in.
Yeah.
But anyway, Pesci shows up and he's going to keep him out. And the guy, you know, get the manager. So he does, you know, all right, we'll let him in. Okay. So about 20 minutes, half an hour later, some gal comes in or tries to get in.
Yeah.
And he's, no, it's a special party. You know, well, I'm with Joe Pesci. I don't care. You're not getting in or whatever. So Pesci comes out and apparently says something to the guy. And he says, let her in. He says, well, it's a special party. I'll let you in. I'm not making anything. So he got in his face a little bit. And, you know, Pesci's about 5'5". This guy's like 6'6". And he goes, you know who the fuck I am? And the guy says, yeah, I know the fuck you are. And this is no fucking movie. Yeah, I got, yeah. So the next day, a couple of garbage men show up at, House of Blues.
Yes.
The guy's name was Red. And he's like, where's Red? Red, no, here. Where does Red live? I don't know. They, you know, so they're looking for Red. Red got the hell out of town. That's the story I heard. Yeah. So, yeah. So the moral of the story is if Joe and his girlfriend want to get into the...
Yeah, let them in.
Let them in.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if they want to win at blackjack, let them win.
Let them win, yeah. Okay, there you go. Okay, so anyway, I got Paul Morphy, 1884. Now, you should know that. I've mentioned this guy 15 times. The uncrowned, chess's sorrow. Chess's triumph and sorrow, because he's the greatest player, but he never got to be world champion. Because he never got a chance to play Staunton, who he'd have killed. And anyways, from New Orleans.
Donged him?
Yeah, pretty much. Okay. Yeah, he murdered him. And anyway, so Paul Morphy quit to be a lawyer. Dumb shit. Mm. Yeah, so he's not real bright either. Who else I got? Well, I already talked about Nick Adams.
Yeah, not the Hemingway character.
Yeah, and we talked about Laurent Daulté. Oh, I think, you know who else was, I had somebody. Oh, Terry Thomas. I think either was born or died today. Remember him? Englishman?
Thomas.
With the gap in his teeth. Remember Mad Mad World?
Yes.
The guy with the cactus?
Oh, that, yes. Yeah. He was dressed as the Aussie.
Yeah. Well, yes. The Englishman.
The Englishman, he's, but he's yeah. he's got the Aussie
what,
hat
what,
on.
What are you, from Harvard or something? Sounds so foreign. I'm English. So foreign. Remember that? This wretched country and this preoccupation with bosoms. Remember that? He's talking with Aaron Milton Berle.
Oh, but the way Ethel Merman treated bosoms. That guy.
Oh, yeah. She sat on the cactus. Yeah, this Englishman, I don't even know. Sylvester? Dick Shawn? What'd you do to my mama?
So then it becomes who? He's got that Jeep thing. Yeah, and who's riding along with
Milton
him?
Milton Berle.
It's Milton. And
his edible kelp?
Yeah.
Edible seaweed? Yeah.
I just came, speaking of Mad Mad, I just came across a couple of Phil Silvers on one of the channels the other night.
Dr. Silman?
These were straight up Bilkos.
Oh, yeah. He's great.
And
I told you his daughter was my acting coach.
Yes.
Yeah, he's quite a guy.
All right. You got anything else? Funny.
The best Gilligan's Island is the one where he's Harold Hecuba. Remember that?
No.
They put on Hamlet for him.
No,
yeah,
I do not remember this.
That's that big producer. He ends up on the island, and Ginger's trying to impress him so she can be in his next show.
Yeah, yeah.
And he insults the hell out of her, so they put on Hamlet as a musical.
As a musical?
Yeah. It's pretty funny. Harold Hecuba. All right.
July 10th is in the books, folks. Thanks for tuning in. Don't forget, check out all the other shows at lineupmedia.fm. From Armand's guest appearance on Surreal Talk to our sports shows such as Two Birds on a Bat, Boston Sports Weekly, Blues NHL Podcast, if you're a hockey fan, and if you're also a fan of pop culture, check out Geek Grab Bag or Next Gen Nerds, all part of lineupmedia.fm. All right, for producers Andrew Allen, Brian Crock, and show writer Corey Smith, this has been This Day in History on lineupmedia.fm, and when July 11th rolls around, we'll be right here to tell you about it. Stay tuned.
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.